This is 307 Net Info, connecting community. This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by Superintendent Charles Oskey of Johnson County School District Number 1. Good morning, Charles. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks again. I always enjoy our conversation.
Yes, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I do too. So one of the things that I've noticed, you know, and partly as everybody knows, I'm a parent. I currently have a parent in the Johnson County School District. I have currently have a child in the Johnson County School District. And what's come across my radar a few times is a survey that you're conducting about the concealed carry, the firearms in schools. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not just schools. The bill that's in being discussed at the legislature really right now is broader than schools. But let's talk about it for a moment in this area of education and what it would mean. We have touched on that a little bit before in our conversations, but yeah. You have a survey. I have completed my survey. Can you tell me a little bit about what you are trying to get from the from respondents in that survey?
Well, we know the bill is it's going through very quickly, but it's our opportunity to really survey our stakeholders, our parents, our students, business owners. What do they actually feel like? And so our survey actually talks about enhanced concealed carry. I'm sorry with my voice. But the intent of the survey is to actually get the pulse of what the community is, because it is a legislative. It's firmly believed that there will be some type of concealed weapon policy that eliminates currently gun-free zones, gun-safe, you know, allows guns into schools, whether it's concealed, open. There's concerns with, you know, even somebody 18 being able to have a concealed weapon in school. So it does just really open a lot of things. But the intent, the overall intent of the survey was to get the first initial, and I'll be very transparent, this is probably one of many surveys coming out to the community, is what is the pulse in the community with concealed weapons being in school? And when the survey wraps up, which is today, which I can't believe is already Friday, Kaylin Communication will work with us to get a press release out. And what does that information read? I have to reiterate, from when the survey went out, our survey is related to, you see the word across the top, was an enhanced concealed carry and not just a concealed carry in Wyoming where anybody. So there's going to be some discrepancies. Because I just don't believe anybody with a weapon should be allowed to conceal carry in some of our public places. So it is here. It's unfortunately the time that we're in. But if you watch the House and the Senate's conversation about this, it's been pretty unanimous, even though there's been a tremendous amount of testimony against it. It just seems to move very quickly.
So how much, we don't know exactly what the legislation is going to be, but we do know that it is extremely likely that it will be permissible to, in some form or other. How much wiggle room will there be in the individual districts, and how much will a policy make a difference in a school district?
Well, what I'm really hoping for, just knowing the momentum of where it's leaving, is somewhere this is amended, which allows the community and school districts to actually write the actual policy that their community and their district feel meets their needs. Because right now, they're going to tell us exactly what to do. The end result of that will be most bills like this are effective July 1st. So that means between the end of session, which I'll just put it bluntly, from by the time they determine what the rules are, end of March, April 1st to July 1st is a very short window to get policies, procedures, trainings, all of that stuff into play. So it will be interesting. Transparency to everybody that's listening here today. This isn't a if it passes, it's going to pass. It's, well, what do we control once the bills are passed? What does that mean for us? And I just want to reiterate, as a school district superintendent, I know I speak for the Board of Trustees, we will do what's best for our kids. So the input from parents and students and community, really understanding what the rule is and the laws are, will really determine what we do in our district.
One aspect that has come up in the conversations has been what it will potentially do to your insurance policies. Can you talk a little bit about, given that where we are now, what you envisage? Because insurance costs money, and that has an impact on your overall budget. And what would you be insuring for?
I think it comes back to a liability, kind of like cybersecurity. There's going to be certain parameters in order to remain insured, because there's going to be liability with these type of whatever this law does about weapons being in school. I'll just be transparent. Whether it's concealed, what does that look like? What are the protocols we have in place as a public-owned entity to make sure that everybody's safe? So I know insurance companies say, oh, it's going to be okay. But once this actually passes and it becomes law, insurance companies are going to, I'm sure they have a formula. They have experts. What kind of liability increase is this? And if you want to do a discount, you're going to have certain protocols in place to make sure that you're an abiding citizen or a public entity. But there will be a cost. What do we know that will be right now? It could be $10,000 or $12,000. It could be $50,000. It all depends on what legislation comes out and what protocols we put in place. But insurance companies aren't really letting us know yet. I will speak for experience that one of the four school districts that did do the training and does have staff that is trained, their original insurance company dropped them because of the liability, and they had to find another insurance carrier. With obviously a higher cost to actually provide that liability insurance. So it will impact all of us, but the real answer to that is we don't know yet until the bill passes and insurance companies kind of, you know, put a perspective on that. I know schools in Utah do it, but again, what do they pay for their policies? That's really not prevalent, or what rules do they have to follow?
Okay. So you will collect the results of the concealed carry policy. When do you hope to kind of start to be able to review them, make some analysis?
So we're hoping to have a press release next week and really start reviewing the details behind that. So it's going to come soon because I want it down to our state leadership so they can have that kind of information on the floor. So it will be next week, which is probably, like you and I have talked before prior to this, was next week's the big week in education.
I'm glad you introduced that because I'd like to talk about what we know is happening in Cheyenne at the moment. There is a vast amount of legislation on the table, and a lot of it is moving quickly, and yes, there is a lot of discussion. It's like drinking from a fire hose, trying to kind of keep up with everything. But you are going down as a school district with many representatives from the board next week. Given where we are now and what we know and some of the things that are coming up and have been discussed already, next week we believe is a really significant one when it comes to the education bills. But what are you really looking at right now?
So the still stays the top priority for us is to make sure our component project, the $4.5 million funding for KC HVAC project, remains in the funding. And why is that important to me? Well, in the first week of legislation, they pulled the funding for Campbell County High School out, so they didn't fund them. So making sure that those projects. Reality to me is there's been a lot of legislation that I think is aimed at cutting education, cutting the funding for education. So what does that balance look like? But priority one would still be with that. Watch that next week.
Because just to be clear, we've talked about this before, yeah, but if the HVAC doesn't work, the school building can't open and students can't
be taught.
Yeah,
it's a trickle down. So just an enhancement to say we're doing it. The system is failing. So in order to keep the building up and functional, so which is the heart of the community, just like any other school, is getting that system to where we can keep the school open every day.
And I'm assuming that there are some statutory requirements of some basic health and safety,
yep,
that you have to follow. So it's not just put on a sweater or wear a t-shirt.
Yeah.
It's actually a requirement that you have to fulfill. So you have to,
yep,
fix that.
And if we don't get this funding, then that has to come out of our annual funding, and we don't have that kind of annual funding. I mean, even if it's $1.4 million annually, that doesn't even cover a $4.5 million project. We have others. Buffalo High School could be a half a million to three quarters of a million. The boilers are going bad on it. And the controllers that go to it. So our buildings are to the age that some major projects, all of our roofs went out of warranty this year. So replacing of that, there's probably close to $40 million worth of maintenance projects that we need to take care of over the next 7 years. So getting these projects into that pipeline of component projects and having the state continue to fund those is exciting for me. But again, it's something we need in order to keep our buildings up and running.
One thing that keeps students, you know, on track is good quality teaching. One of the bills that is in play is House Bill 100, which is about a decertification of, well, a loosening of the required certification of teachers. There's been some local chatter about that and some concern amongst the teaching profession. Could you just describe where you stand on those things?
Totally against it. I think it demoralizes teachers and their certifications and everything we have to do to be professionals. I think it's a way of, taking a shot at it costs less to fund public education and puts a lot more responsibility back on school districts. I mean, are we struggling with finding staff? Absolutely. But we need highly trained staff.
Is that a Wyoming problem?
It's a national thing. Okay. And I think this bill here is kind of a trend you've seen in other states where they can't find certified teachers. So they put this law into place so they can put pretty much anybody that's 18 years old and has passed a background test, they can be in front of kids. Teaching is a career. It's a profession. It requires training. And if we put it onto the school boards to develop a policy for that to happen, we are going to have to become the universities that train and provide that level of training so they can be successful in the classroom. I get the opportunities that, you know, maybe we don't want to have all these certifications, but when you start taking certifications out of the hands of the universities, it doesn't mean we can just pull anybody off the street and put them in front of kids. We're going to have to train them. So that becomes an expenditure upon the district. So there's a lot of those little things that people aren't looking at when it comes to that. But for me, overall, it's just not good for the culture of education that even a bill like this is being presented. I think it demoralizes public educational teachers, administrators, just that certification piece. But I also want to say, I know we have some classified staff that are amazing teachers. There are people that could be successful, but the overall profession itself, we train the pairs. We do some different things that we provide that. This is just a way I know of taking what they thought would give school districts some more flexibility in hiring people, and actually it just is going to destroy a culture teachers are important. It gives a different perception. There will be teachers that probably, if you're going to pay somebody who doesn't have 7 years worth of schooling behind them and a master's degree, the same amount that you're going to pay me, then they're going to find different careers too. So this is just not a good bill overall. And sadly, I'll publicly say it, it shouldn't have been one that even came to the table.
Well, we'll be watching it keenly and see what happens. There would be a lot of fallout from that.
Yes.
Obviously.
And Kate, with these bills that we're talking about, even the gun bill, there are more educational bills that have a direct instant impact that will shift what we have to do, and all that work will have to be done in 3 to 4 months. After legislation, this is one of them. Non-certified, board policy, how do you train, how do you hire? The concealed weapons or guns in school is going to require training on staff and how do we address issues. There are a lot of bills that are currently going across the table, even the one with the preservation of summer for teachers. If we reduce teaching days from 185 to 170, well, okay, we're just getting done with our district calendar. So now we're going to have to revisit our district calendar, count the hours. We're going to have to tell classified staff that there's the potential they'll lose 15 days of employment next year. School districts can't cut they can't cut teacher salaries, but the state statute, the way it's written with this policy, doesn't mean that the state has to fund you at that level. So they're going to fund us for less days, but we're going to have to keep the same wages for teachers. All of those components really will make this a very busy summer with some of those things which come out of this. So typically, you know, there's one or two bills, but I've already listed four that'll have a huge impact with us. So it's going to be, it's next week is a big swing week for us, and I'm glad next weekend, February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we're going to be in Cheyenne to talk with legislators. But there are more educational things, high impact bills that are coming through that the districts are going to have to address.
What other particular specific areas are you looking at? Are you concerned about?
So I think the school finance cash carryover, which is more of a revenue flow so we can pay our monthly bills, that's huge. You're looking at that block grant funding model of what we fund you for teachers is what every one of those pennies should go to teachers. That's just another report for me, because we're already, everything you give us, we actually fund, we pay more for teachers than the model funds us. But it's going to be another report. It's going to be something else that we look at with what that does. The capital construction, I'm excited they're actually looking at helping us maintain our buildings. So I hope there's an increase with some of those processes. And then if we look at just kind of the bills we have up here as we go, the one that school safety will have a huge impact with rules, which again, if it's going to override
the fire marshal. So that's House Bill 31. Currently, as we speak, it's just being introduced. What is within that bill that
that's going to create at? State law that says whatever the fire marshal says, we don't have to follow, and we can put devices in. So that will create some legalities with that. So and then there's a lot of them out there that are just going to go through that are related to sports, the ethics, the those things that are going to require policy change. But overall, it might lead into the conversation I know we want to have is about the reduction in taxes and how that's going to impact. I mean, this all impacts us and this community.
Exactly. So everybody would like, all homeowners would like to see a reduction in their property taxes. They are painfully high at the moment.
Yep.
And everybody would like to open their tax bill and see something less. But there is a knock-on impact, because it is those funds that subsidize the services which we are used to in all sorts of areas, but in any community, school district being one of them. What do you anticipate happening if with a 50% reduction, which is currently what is on the table? That may change any moment.
So, yeah, people, well, that does that impact schools? Yes and no. So the first part of it, yes. So our rec mill grant, our Bochy's grant, those will all receive a drastic reduction
in
funding.
And what do they fund in reality?
So the rec district funds a lot of these activities within the community. I know it's a separate rec board, but those funds go. So a lot of it goes to the fairgrounds. We go and ask things for some of our activities. But there's just a lot of the community activities that are funded through our rec district. The Bochy's, that's where we use that money, and it's new Bochy's through Sheridan College. But that's where we fund most of our concurrent and dual enrollment courses. Support those college classes. So that's a huge impact for us.
So you're not only talking about the loss of those programs or activities or opportunities, you're probably also talking about the people who provide those,
yes,
having their working days either slashed or eliminated.
Yeah, so those programs will be cut drastically. Let's just use an easy number of 50%. You know, that 50% of those opportunities will probably go away with that. Now, taxpayers' dollars, this is the way I view it, and Charles's view only, but the reality, the way the state laws work right now, school district overall funding won't be impacted because the state has to fund us first. So that means if they have to, whatever the shortfall in local taxes is, the state's going to have to pick up, which we get into either I don't want entitlement or recapture district. I don't want to go into that. However, the state's going to have to fund that, which means that's going to be less money for the entities under. So that's your communities, your law enforcement, all, all of those services will be impacted.
Fire, ambulance, hospital, any special use district.
All those are going to be impacted underneath
senior services.
So then guess what that's going to create? That's going to create a conflict between the school district and your community services, and it's just going to put a divide. Well, how can the school be funded this when we need these resources? It's just overall not good. Now, and as you explained to me before, they're not even willing to backfill it with the savings they have. So that this is not going to just be, oh, over time we'll get used to it. This will be a drastic cut that will happen after legislation.
And it's for 26 and 27, so it's right on our doorstep.
But it's right around the corner, yeah. And you'll start seeing everybody start making decisions and layoffs and equipment. I mean, they have to do it pre. You don't do it during. So it will cause a huge... The impact is there, and the reality is I want to make sure we keep our community and our district solid together, but there is a potential of separating some of that.
Well, there is a lot to watch.
There is, absolutely.
We have many more days of session, and there's still a lot of things up. I hope that we can get together after you've been down to Cheyenne, and we can have a conversation about what happened and what is where we are now and what do you envisage coming up for the school district?
Just on a positive, you know, I want to shout out to not only to you by doing these things, but the communication with our leadership that's down there, state leadership and local leadership that's down there advocating for us. I want to put a huge kudos out to them because they're doing some amazing things. So,
That happened at, and largely there was quite a lot of conversation at the last board work session, and that I've cut, and it appears, you know, as a designated feature piece on 307.net info. So you can hear that in motion, you can hear the conversation. It truly was a conversation and exchange of ideas between the school board, yourself, and those legislators.
Yep. Well, thank you for this opportunity, and I don't know if the community tells you enough, but this is what we need to do. We need to get information out so the work you're doing is impactful. So
well, I appreciate the encouragement. Thank you very much, Charles.
Okay, thanks.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.